Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now in the studio, Mike Clements from NFL Serious Radio. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Good, pal. I love this show every year from Road America when I hear those cars go by. You know, it's always in the middle of training camp, but, man, I'd love to be just hanging out with you guys and Will watching the race cars go by. I love racing.
It's always cool. It really is. I completely agree with you. And the fact that this is an office for a day with the start-finish line in front of you, it's so neat. Last night, it wasn't a great office environment at all in the fact that you had – The Packers, and really the story became, rather than roster moves and some of the injuries, the story became the field and if the field caused injuries or not. But, you know, look, the Raiders, they say, look, it was no distraction and no big deal. Coming to Canada's no problem.
Yeah, well, you know, now here's the deal. First of all, you know, this goes back to Mark Davis moving his team to Vegas, can't get along with Oakland. Then he gets in his schedule late and the A's have already got the Coliseum. And then the league steps in and says, well, you know, let's turn lemons into lemonade. We could put this game in Canada. And, I mean, there's been questions raised about this all along, and every time you're asked about it, it's like, well, this will be all right. You know, is it a big deal? Is it the most important thing in the world? To me, what people are paying to be season ticket holders at NFL games around the league, isn't there supposed to be a standard of excellence? And in a league that one minute tells Antonio Brown what helmet he can wear and can't wear, how can this happen when they say, hey, you see that hole there on the 2 yards into the end zone? That's good. We're fine with that. It doesn't make any sense. You saw Tim Boyle slip on that turf last night with those extra – there was James Lofton even commented this during the broadcast. He said, you know, there's like three times the amount of pellets I've ever seen on this kind of a field before. They went crazy with the rubber pellets to cushion it, because you know what? That feel is not as soft as what NFL players are used to. They use a very similar field like that inside the Hudson Center, but you don't see that much dust kick up like you saw last night. Tim Boyle slipping, Trevor Davis slipping. Who knows if some of these guys are going to come away with calf injuries. So in the meantime, this is supposed to be a Raiders home game. You know, are they the ones that are supposed to be in charge of this? And John Gruden talked about, you know, is this another distraction for the Raiders? And other than that, he said he thought everything was just fine with the Raiders' trip to Canada.
Thank the people of Winnipeg. We had a great experience. The field, I don't know what that was all about. I'm not going to make a big deal about the field. We liked the field. We thought the field was perfectly ready to roll. You'll have to ask Green Bay about that. But didn't impact our play calling or our evaluations. It's not going to change the evaluation other than we didn't get some kickoffs and some opportunities in special teams. But we just adapted, as they did, to the new dimensions of the field.
John, you've already said that training camp's already been kind of strange with all the things that have been going on, but you said it's not a distraction. How weird was tonight, though, with the short field and the travel and being in
a country?
It's
weird playing a home game in Winnipeg, but it's exciting. It's a great opportunity for us to spend some time together. We left some players at home. We had some players show up and not play, but it was a good road trip. There's not as many distractions here as you think or anybody thinks. And Antonio Brown's doing fine. We got a good young football team. And we might have five undrafted players make the team. That's the story most people are missing. But I'm going to talk about that, not about any more distractions.
Well, yeah, they've had distractions in camp. They've been a team of distractions, so this is probably no big deal to them. While the Packers, they try, Mike, to always have things status quo. They try to have everything checked out, fine-tooth comb, no hiccups, and obviously this was a little bit of a hiccup.
Well, and so the Raiders are putting this on as if, hey, they would have played in a 100-yard field, that those holes in the end zone were fine with, just fine with them. This is the thing that I'm trying to figure out. See, we've been through this before. The Packers, we were in Canton, the Hall of Fame, Brett Favre, Kevin Green, inducted into their class in the Hall of Fame the night before. And then, as soon as that ceremony was over with, about 11 o'clock midnight, the crews there were working all through the night to get rid of these sheets of plywood they had let down on the field, the chairs, the staging, and all that. And then they peeled that back, vacuumed it all up, and then they started painting the field to put a big Pro Football Hall of Fame logo on there. They were still painting until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Then the paint started to dry, turn hard, so by 5 o'clock, when Ted Thompson and the Packers arrived, they're walking the field, and it's like, this is a brick out here at the 50-yard line. We're not going to have guys run across this stuff. And that's why that game was canceled, because the Packers obviously expressing safety. And same thing with Andrew Luck and the Colts that night as well. So my question is, you know, the people at IG Stadium are telling the press, hey, listen, the NFL and the Players Union approved this field on Friday. Now, I want to know, is had those goalposts been moved by then? Because there's no way that they would have, I can't imagine them approving it the way that thing looked in the end zone. You know, and as we led up to this game, you felt kind of guilty. You kept asking the Packers, are you guys sure about this? Really? I mean, you're really going to get on the plane and play in Winnipeg? Does anybody know about the field up there? And a week ago today, Matt LaFleur said, yeah, we're sending one of our guys.
No, we'll evaluate the surface before we play the game. Matt Klein's going up there a couple days early, so he'll be able to evaluate it as well. And it seems like it's a relatively new stadium, so it looks pretty nice. But I guess until we get there, we won't know.
Matt Klein is the coordinator for travel and logistics for the team, and he's the advanced guy anyway. You know, he makes sure that the rooms are okay for the team, where the equipment's going to go, all the facilities at a stadium, and walks the field, and he's going to report to Brian Gutekunst about what he sees. So I just want to know, when were those posts moved? Because, you know, you can see one of those things where they say, oh, yeah, we're going to move the goalposts. It's going to be beautiful, right? And they move them hours before the game, and it's not even close to what they need. So last night after the game, here's what Matt LaFleur had to say about play a game on an 80-yard field in Winnipeg.
Well, it was a combination of a lot of things that I really don't want to get into right now, and so it is what it is. You know, they weren't playing their guys, and it was the same for both teams, and we made the adjustments that we felt were in the best interest of our football team, and we moved forward.
Was the plan for Aaron to play before the turf conditions became an issue?
Well, we were going to have all our starters play, and just it was just one of those deals. I didn't think it was. We certainly have all played on much worse surfaces in our life, but it was just one of those deals where they weren't playing their starters, and so we just decided to sit them.
How much input did you guys have as a team in the decision? Was that entirely enough?
You know, I pretty much stayed out of that, so I just was focused on trying to get our football team ready to play.
What was the concern?
Yeah, you know what? I can't even get into it because I stayed out of all those conversations. I said, hey, just let us know what we're doing, and we'll adjust.
I'm sure you wanted to see the starters, so without them playing, do you feel like that sets you back? Did you need to see them tonight for week one?
No, I feel confident in our preparation, and, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and I know we're going to get second-guessed every which way, but I'm not too worried about it. I'm concerned about how we go about our business and the mindset in that locker room, and I feel, you know, I think our guys are confident.
What did you think of the 80-yard field and how quirky or interesting was that?
It was definitely different. It was definitely different, but, hey, it was the same conditions for both sides, and you just deal with it.
So how did that affect your roster decisions, then?
The 80-yard field did not impact it at all.
The problems in the end zone, did that affect your roster decisions?
No, because we didn't play in the end zone. So
why didn't you play your starters?
Because we didn't feel like that was something I wanted to do.
Because
I didn't want to do it.
No reason.
Other than that, I didn't want to do it.
So there you go. It's just a weird. The first time I heard Matt LaFleur probably on his heels a little bit in a press conference, Mike, because
this is 2 years in a row for the NFL. An exhibition game last year that was canceled in Mexico that had been planned for months because they got there and the grass wasn't right. It was too short. And then last night in Winnipeg, a hole in both end zones because they moved the goalposts back from the CFL to the NFL. If you're going to be picky about helmets, how can the league look at a field like that and actually think that players are going to run across that, you know, in a game? It's ridiculous.
Right. No, I completely agree. We're going to take a quick break. Broadcasting live out here at Road America, the Xfinity NASCAR Series is in town. The race cars are now quiet. The track has gone quiet. They got some more things going on a little bit later this afternoon. But a tremendous weekend of racing in store. So if you're going to do something, come on out and say hello. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Boyle is 3-3 on this drive, third down and three. Boyle, and he's going to the end zone and caught! That's a touchdown from Trevor Davis with the grab. My goodness, has he played well tonight.
Double move. Basically, they're playing inside leverage already, so I didn't really try to fake him inside too much because he already kind of gave me leverage, so went inside just a little bit, got to stack him and scored a touchdown. This is my first game in a while, so it feels good to go out there.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are broadcasting live at Road America, where the stadium super trucks are getting ready to take the track. And if you've never seen them, I encourage you to Google them. Because the race out here at Road America, it's where they put ramps out on the track, and these things fly hundreds of feet in the air as they race around this track. It's amazing to watch these guys go. So that is going to be going on here momentarily. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Go to WISHD for all the events upcoming as the rally is just about upon us. They have a huge selection of bikes. They are making bikes go away right now because I know people want them. They're cutting some great deals. They've got a huge inventory as they have the pre-owned bike blowout sale going on right now, not to mention the motor clothes department, all the bands, the giant sports bar they're building right there on site in anticipation of the rally and you riders that are going to be there. And they are the after party where we're going to land for the party after our motorcycle ride, the 12th annual Big Units Poker Run presented by Bud Light and Concordia University. We're going to stage at Milwaukee Brewing on 9th Street, and then after that we go on a big ride. Kickstands up at 10 a.m. and then we go on a ride that's going to be about 101 miles, and then we end up out at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson for the after party. So thanks to them for being a part of it. Go to WISHD.com for all the information. That's WISHD.com. By the way, now I'm reading Ian Rappaport here too. Packers wide receiver Equanimeous St. Brown suffered a, quote, high ankle sprain in last night's preseason game in Canada. The x-rays were negative. The MRI indicated a high ankle sprain. Now, we were saying, we heard rumors, either a high ankle sprain or a dislocation. The dislocation would have been the end of the season. High ankle sprain, 4 to 6 weeks is what they're saying, so we will wait and see. But that is really good news for the Green Bay Packers and more so for Equanimeous St. Brown. Mike Clemens joining us on the line on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And you heard Trevor Davis of the Packers Television Network as well. So, Mike, now you kind of look at things and you say, okay, you still have some roster moves to make, but at least you breathe a sigh of relief when it comes to your wide receiving core. And then your backup quarterback seems to have kind of separated himself from the pack as you've got Aaron Rodgers and now it appears to be Tim Boyle.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of things that happened in the game last night, even though it was an 80-yard field, are things that we've been talking about that seem to be coming together over the last week, 2 weeks of practice. And one of them was Trevor Davis. We just said it. The guy's not only making now the routine catches, which sometimes he was 50-50 on in the past, but he was making some spectacular catches. And you saw that last night with the touchdown catch, the other balls he was grabbing. The first one that he got from Tim Boyle on the left-hand side, 5 catches for Trevor. And every one of them, too, was like 15, 20 yards downfield. He averaged 15 yards per catch, 78 yards, the longest 20, and the touchdown. And, we talked to him after the game about that. And then to Tim Boyle, the quarterback, who, you know, DeShone Kizer, we said, athletic, can move around, just can't seem to make a decision. And what did he get, sacked 3 times his first series last night? Just holding on to the football. I know he's out there with the third stringers, but this is what we're seeing in practice. You'll see DeShone Kizer chuck the football 45 yards downfield and hit Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the run, your fast, tall guy, fastest guy on the team. And then they're going through a 2-minute drill at 50% speed just to kind of go through the motions. And he's supposed to throw a ball over to Devontae Adams, wide open on the side, at 50%, just a little 10, 15-yard pass, and he throws it into the ground. And I asked LaFleur about that after practice. I said, what's with his accuracy? And he said, you know, it's the feet. I mean, he says a lot of these guys, they come out of college and they're tapping their feet because they think they got to move just in case they feel the pressure, and they can't. They have to just decide, decide where they're going with the football, let the feet settle, and throw through. And he said that's a tough thing to change. Well, this is DeShone Kizer's third year in the league. And
right.
And Tim Boyle, you see him just an inch more decisive, move the chains, seems like there's less penalties with, you know, his team. And we talked about how weird it was being on the 80-yard field last night.
There was a couple spots in the end zone that apparently just weren't up to par for the NFL's standards. So I know there were a couple options, and they decided to make the field shorter, and we adjusted, and it wasn't that bad. It was, like you said, a little awkward, just kind of getting used to the – I think it affected the quarterbacks, receivers, and honestly the punters, because the punters are trying to pin them inside the 10, but really that's inside the 20. So it's just you're built to play on the football field. So you look at the end zone, and it's – you're thinking it's the end zone, so you have to train yourself, and that's kind of where we were out there filling out, you know, the 10 to the goal line is the end zone. It's kind of weird. Thankfully, they were able to throw two touchdowns in those vicinities today, and the receivers were obviously aware of where they were, so it worked out. But we all knew there was going to be a game, I think, but just a matter of if they can get one side cleaned up, and we'd all go one way, or if they were going to make the field shorter. But we don't get to make those calls, so it was more of us just waiting to hear what was going to happen, and it was almost fun, you know, kind of backyard football and go play with the boys and have some fun on an 80-yard field.
And another thing that was important was to get that running game going. And instead of having five guys with two carries, they focused on Trey Carson and Dexter Williams, the rookie. They each got 9 or 11 carries each. That helped improve their average. You could see them, you know, break one for 9 yards, 7 yards, that kind of thing. Ford got 11 carries toward the end of the game. But in terms of quarterbacks, Tim Boyle, 2 touchdown passes, rating 113. He's actually got a pretty good rating now overall of the preseason. DeShone Kizer, a quarterback rating of 24 last night.
Yeah, it was bad last night to watch him. I think another guy that's playing himself back into the roster, Trevor Davis, had a hell of a night last night, Mike.
He did. You know, the guy is he's also a kickoff return guy as well, too. So that was kind of weird that they didn't have that's part of the special teams. But, yeah, Trevor Davis with his speed. And then you saw the one time they ran the jet sweep. They run that several times in practice. And a nice toss from Tim Boyle. It's a different thing. There's another thing to look for too. Even Aaron Rodgers is doing it, you know, as the team leader. There's a different technique for these Green Bay quarterbacks under Matt LaFleur. You see it. First they're up under center. Maybe there's a single halfback, and when you see him go back and fake to that running back, do you notice how Rodgers? Well, no, you haven't seen it because he hasn't played. But in practice,
right,
you see all these Packers quarterbacks. They dip way down. They dip way over, so that they carry out the fake, and you, it's harder to see if the ball's actually got into that running back's hands, or if the quarterback has still got it on his hip, and he's carrying out the fake. But LaFleur's even got Aaron Rodgers to change his technique so that the play action is sold much better all the way through, and you don't know if that quarterback still got the ball after the running back has run past him.
Mike, I've said all along, when Aaron Rodgers sells it, he's one of the best at it. And one of the guys that I watched growing up use it better than anybody was Boomer Esiason. I mean, he used it like a weapon.
Yeah.
And when you watched him do it, and the camera was even following the quarterback and the running back, meanwhile, he pops the ball out. Next thing you know, you're throwing it deep down to Chris Collinsworth. I mean, you use that as a weapon, and you really sell it, and it becomes so much more. It gives you so much cushion if indeed you're going to throw the football.
And around 2003, 2004, too, I noticed one Sunday afternoon how much better Brett Favre was and not running with the football and taking shots, but how much better he could stay in the pocket and just move 2 steps to the left, launch point. 2 steps to the right,
right,
launch point. Stay, let the pocket work for you a little bit. Stay back there and not take all those shots. And, you know, that's how he had another 6 or 7 years to his career. So with these injuries now, let's see. Let's talk about Equanimeous St. Brown. You said the report there is high ankle sprain. So, you know, that's
high ankle sprain is what we're hearing.
Yeah. So, you know, you got Devontae Adams, Geronimo Allison, you got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you got Jake Kumerow, had a couple catches last night. St. Brown, he hasn't flashed in this preseason. He had the one play on special teams where he recovered a punt for a touchdown. But it was even as late as last Monday that Aaron Rodgers put in a word for him saying, hey, you know, don't discount Equanimeous St. Brown. He had a good year as a rookie, and he's had a good camp, you know, just kind of quiet. But you still got Darius Shepherd, you know, who, I mean, again, that's another one of these things we talk about in practice, and then they showed in the game. They got him back to return and everything. He gets 3 catches last night. Alan Lazard, is the big kid, you know, the 6'5". Now, he left the game with, I don't know if it was a head injury or shoulder injury. He kind of went upended. He went under the tent. So we'll have to find out with that. We're going to talk to LaFleur about 3:45 this afternoon. But, yeah, they've taken a couple of hits to that otherwise very deep wide receiver group, and, you know, that may end up making some decisions when they get to roster cuts next weekend.
Hey, Mike, before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit real quick about the inside linebacking position. You talked about Ty Summers a little bit. I mean, he's had a hell of a camp so far.
Yes. And, you know, out there, you know, as a leader with the radio helmet on. Now, Curtis Bolton is a guy that I think with Oren Burks out is the number two linebacker with Blake Martinez. Martinez got hurt somewhere in practice in the last week or so, so he probably wasn't going to play. But Ty Summers ends up leading the game again with tackles. He had like 10 tackles. By the way, I thought Montrevious Adams had a good game. They scored him with three. I scored him with four tackles in that game last night. I thought he played a pretty good first half. But an inside linebacker, now you got problems because, but it's the same kind of thing that they went through a year ago this time when Jake Ryan went down with the ACL and was out for the rest of the year. In camp, they had a guy named Ahmad Thomas, another one named Martini. And then you know what they did? They cut them both, and they started bringing like James Crawford and other guys from around the league that had 2 or 3 years experience in the league and just frankly were harder hitters. So, you know, with Bolton out last night with crutches and a knee brace, now they're going to have to look more at guys, you know, that stepped up last night just to get them through this period. Like the guy that had a tremendous tackle last night, which I couldn't understand why that was an illegal hit or, you know, lowering the head. Brady Sheldon had the pick and all that. He stepped up, made some nice plays, had a couple tackles in the game. But, you know, you talked to Ty Summers about just how weird it was to play on an 80-yard field and what the players were hearing in the locker room.
It didn't even feel like a game, to be honest. It felt like almost like practice, which I guess is a good thing. You know, it slows the speed of the game down a little bit. I feel like it was better. I feel like I didn't see quite as many missed tackles, personally, myself as included. Always were areas to improve, you know, playing leverage. You know, still there's missed opportunities to make tackles. And so, I mean, I think we're improving from, especially from last week. Got in my own head the second game, something that I've never really done before. And so I had to wake myself up and remind myself that I'm a good player, that I got here for a reason. So go out there and just give it my all and have fun. I mean, it's a game. So that's all I tried to do is go out there and compete, and I had a lot more energy. I don't know if you could tell. I had a lot more energy getting psyched up for not just myself, but for the other guys making plays, too. I had a lot of fun out there tonight.
And with Jimmy Graham at tight end out for a couple weeks with whatever happened to that pinky finger that he got hit by a fastball from Deshaun Kizer in practice last week Sunday, Robert Tonyan's got to step up, second-year man at tight end. He had a couple of catches last night. He's also a special teams guy, but, you know, that last night's game eliminated any evaluation of the guys that are on kickoff coverage or on kick return team, and here's what Tonyan said.
You know, the no kickoffs and stuff like that, that was fine and stuff like that, but, like, when you're getting down there and you're not knowing what yard line you're on or where the end zone is, it's a little different, but at the end of the day, we're professionals, you know, we got field awareness, and luckily it didn't really come into play that much. It was interesting. I mean, it was just different. I mean, we didn't know, you know, what was going to happen. You know, we were hearing, you know, a lot of, you know, different things from different, you know, areas, so at the end of the day, we just got to go out and play football.
So, no, you didn't get Aaron Jones and the first-team offense out there to run in sync and see if they can get the running game going. But for all those other guys, second team to fourth team, they got plenty on tape last night against the Raiders.
No doubt. Good stuff, Michael, as always. And we'll chat again Monday, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.